Scripture text for today is Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 48. Luke 19, verses 37 through 48. I've already mentioned part of this in the little sermon where Jesus says, "The stones will cry out if my disciples are told to be quiet." The reason that we're studying this is because I want us to have a summer faith lift together. I get the idea that we're not really claiming all our faith and living with vibrant witness in our world, and so I want us just to have a faith lift together this summer. And so we're going to start with this text, which actually comes from just before Easter. It's the triumphal entry, and it goes like this. When he had came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out all those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching in the temple. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all of the people hung on his words. Let us pray together. Jesus, people were hanging on your words indeed because they are the words of life. They are the words that show us a way through our lives. They are the words that we can share with others to give them life to. Lord, teach us, empower us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's probably not a day that goes by when one of you mentions to me, "Boy, times are just different. The world has really changed." And I can affirm that from my own experience. From my own growing up, I grew up in a completely different era. And I bet some of you grew up in the very same era as well and can repeat this well-known phrase. Children are meant to be seen and
not heard.
Whoa! You get an A for the day, being an American. Children are meant to be seen and not heard. Probably you have some humorous stories to tell about that too, right? And I'll just step back here for a moment, and maybe you have something that you want to share. Something that happened when your parents said, as they did to me, "Children are meant to be seen and not heard." Anything happen that you want to share? Not that you remember. You remember hearing it though? I remember being in a room full of adults so excited because, you know, the company had come over and parents saying, "Oh, that's enough, go off, go off." Why? Children are meant to be seen and not heard. Carol.
Well, I have a granddaughter, her name is Morgan, and this is her story actually, because she was overheard her parents say, actually what they said was they wanted to get rid of the mortgage. And she thought they were going to get rid of her.
Mortgage. And she will remember that the rest of her life. Oh, the things parents say. I remember my parents saying, "You know, we were walking on the beach one day and found you laying on a rock." And that's what they would laugh and laugh, and they thought it was so funny, and I thought,
He wasn't found me. I wasn't even wanted, or just you picked me up off of the beach one day.
Children are meant to be seen and not heard. Okay? Our text is loud today, and it encourages us to live out loud for Jesus. Verse 37 there says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God. How? In loud voices. And yet, just like we know, children are meant to be seen and not heard. There are some people in the text here that are trying to shut things down. They want the disciples, they will ask Jesus first to have his disciples shut it or stuff it or pin it some way and to take it down a few notches. Okay? Now, I have been known from the pulpit here to take a few pot shots at religion, and I don't think very, very highly of it. I'll probably continue to do that through the years because I don't see a lot of religion in God's book, God's word. I see us being called to serve him, to know him, but not to be adherents to any particular religion. So if I was in this crowd and a religious leader came up to me and said, rebuke your disciples, tell them to shut up, that would only be reason to get a little bit more rowdy. There will be forces in the world that will try and squelch us to get us to shut it, stuff it, or can it. And that's what I want us to look at this morning as we launch this series of a summer faith lift. What is it that wants to bring us back down? And I think we can see three things in the text here that will keep us from living out loud. And I put those in the bulletin there for you right under the sermon title. The reason that I have the bulletin a little with extra Bible verses and phrases and things is so you can take this home and continue to study during the week and continue to learn and apply, because what we do here is vitally important, but it shouldn't stop at 11:30. It needs to go on through Monday and Tuesday. So here are the three things that in this text anyway are trying to silence the disciples. They are power, ignorance, and idols. Power, ignorance, and idols. When Colleen and I lived in Thompson and I was pastoring the church there, we had a friend named Becky who had a beautiful collie. This was not a miniature collie, this was a standard collie, so it came up to about here. Glorious, luxuriant coat of fur, beautiful animal. But this collie, and I don't remember the collie's name, did not say woof woof. This collie said so here's this beautiful dog, woof woof. No. And she had just moved back from Oklahoma City, and we said to her, Becky, what's with the dog? And she said to us, she had lived in an apartment building in Oklahoma City where if you have a dog that barks or is loud, you are required by your lease to do an operation so that those vocal cords are removed or whatever it is. Some of you are shaking your heads. You've heard of that being done before. So in order to stay in this apartment, she had to have her dog, I don't even know what you would call it. It's not neutered. It's silenced. So here's this beautiful dog that just kind of sounded like it had laryngitis. In our loud text for today, we see some people just don't like it loud. And the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that time, come up to Jesus and say, shut them up, rebuke them. And Jesus says, I'm not going to do that. In fact, if I did, creation itself would continue to make plenty of noise. Why is it that these religious leaders would want to shut this down? You'd think they would jump right in. I mean, what an amazing thing. Jesus is there. He's being celebrated as king. This is his triumphal entry. And they want it shut down. It would be like 4th of July fireworks and somebody going and unplugging them or something, saying, don't do this. This is too loud. This is too noisy. These are the fireworks of God. This is Jesus coming into his own city, and they're trying to shut it up. Why? I'll tell you. The reason the Pharisees wanted to shut this down is because there's ever only room for one power in whatever situation you can imagine. There's only one. We as Christians believe and know that that is God, but there are many pretenders to the throne. There are many other powers and authorities that would like to take that away from God. We just finished a lengthy study of the book of Ephesians. And Paul talks about there over and over about spiritual forces of darkness, powers, authorities. And the world is full of these types of powers. Oftentimes the power was initially given by God, but it's been corrupted. And there can only be one Lord. There can only be one power. And the Pharisees knew here that it was either them or Jesus. In fact, maybe from your childhood too, you remember that age-old game, King of the Mountain, right? There are many pretenders trying to get up the hay bales or trying to get up the pile of dirt or something, but only one is at the top. We have another saying, it's a fight to the death. And somehow the Pharisees knew this. And if we skip over to verse 47, you can see there, it says there, that the leaders, and Luke here goes on to mention all of them, not just the Pharisees, the chief priests, the teachers, the leaders of the people were trying to kill him. They knew somehow that it was either Jesus or them, and they tried and shut it down. But this is not the way the universe works. This is not why Jesus came. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, mentions in chapter 2, and that's printed on the back side of your bulletin there, too, so that you don't go home and say, what was that verse again? Philippians 2, verse 9. God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Every knee bowing, every tongue confessing, only one thing, one power, and that's Jesus. So other powers that may be pretending will try and turn you into a stone, try and get you to stuff the praise down. Don't do that. And here's one thing I want you to do, because I want you to live out loud all week long, okay? I want you to always be suspicious of power. Any kind of power that's out there. Ask questions of it. Push at it a little bit. See what comes back. When I was a professor, that's what I was doing before I came here, I taught many classes, I would always challenge my students and say to them, one of the most important questions you can ask in any situation is, who has power here and who does not? Or maybe more realistically, who has power here and who has less power? And that will unravel for you many of the dynamics of what's going on. Who has power and who does not? And that's what you always need to be asking. Because see, a lot of power originally comes from God, but God gives us that power so that we can turn people towards Him. We can reflect God out in the world. Okay? We can teach people and show people the ways of God, but that gets perverted, and those powers stop doing that. Be that a government, be that an institution, be that a husband. A little aside here, gentlemen. Many of us do have power in our homes, and we must love and respect our women, exalt them, love them, and not use the power God has given us to put them down. That's a kind of power too. And if you're not moving your wife towards God and teaching her about God and reflecting God to her, you are not doing His will. Power number one. Silencer number one. I'm sorry. Power. Silencer number two is ignorance. Ignorance. You know, we could sympathize with the Pharisees. I like peace and quiet. Okay? And if things get too loud, I could see how you might want to ask somebody to tone it down. I've done that a time or two myself. Like I mentioned with the dog that would not say woof woof. I'm not real fond of barking dogs, so I don't think I would make a dog, have that operation. Still, peace and quiet is a good thing. So we could maybe give the Pharisees just a little bit of credit here. But one of those things, one of those sounds that really can get to just about anybody is the sound of crying, right? Any parents here had a crying baby, and you know that sound can just flip a switch, turn something over, okay? And we do anything we possibly can to get that child to calm down. We have that sort of a sound here in this text, believe it or not. Despite all the praise and all the worship that's going on, Jesus begins to weep. And we see that in verse number, 41, I think it is? Yes. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Now, you've probably seen somebody crying quietly, and you notice from the tears that there's something going on, not from the sound. Bible scholars tell us that this word wept here could also be translated wail. Jesus was really crying and shaking, sobbing mightily because of what is going on here in Jerusalem, because of their ignorance. And it was an ignorance that would shut them down. He goes on there to describe rather graphically in the next verses, if we could see those, please. The days are coming when your enemies are going to build an embankment against you. That's war, right? Go down to colonial Pemaquid, you'll see some embankments and things. That's what happens in war. They will encircle you, hem you in, not leave one stone upon another. And scholars tell us that this actually happened in about AD 70, about 40 years or so after Jesus was killed. The city of Jerusalem was just leveled. And Jesus is prophesying here, and he says, why? It is because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you, verse 44. And that is our highest calling, to affirm together, as Paul just did in Philippians 2, that Jesus is Lord. And he says it again in Romans 10, 8 to 10, that's on the back of your bulletin there too. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. Notice mouth, speaking, making noise. If you declare with your mouth, if you make a little noise, if you get a little loud, what are we supposed to declare? Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We need to be that church where Jesus is exalted, so we know we are not ignorant of the fact that this is God's world, and that's the whole reason that Jesus came, is to show people again, it may not look like it, folks, but he is in control. But what we see here is a whole city ignoring that. And probably if even the city of God's people could ignore that, a church could ignore that. And indeed, it is a sad fact that in this day and age, there are some churches where God is not acknowledged, where Jesus is not Lord. If that could happen in the city of God's people, it could happen in a church, it could happen in a family, it could happen in any one heart. And we must affirm that Jesus is Lord and share that with other people. And that will be one of my other sermon topics, a sermon out. What are some things that you can say to help people understand that Jesus is Lord? So that's silencer number two, ignorance. Last one, silencer number three, idols. Here we have one of the most famous stories in all of Jesus' life. Jesus goes into the temple courts and starts throwing over tables where people had set up money so they could make change, because people would come into the temple courts and buy a dove or something to sacrifice, and they would need their money changed. And Jesus did not like this. He felt like that God had been demoted, if you wish, and what was now reigning supreme in the temple, God's own temple, was doing business, economic concerns had become supreme. And he says there, it's supposed to be a house of prayer, verse 46, you've made it a den of robbers. So something had taken the place of God in the lives of God's own people. We see that in the leaders, we see that in the whole city of Jerusalem, now even in the temple. And that taking the place of God is the very definition of an idol. That's what an idol is. And it is the most fundamental struggle that any of us have. I wish we could come up with some new word or something. Because often I think when I say the word idol, you think of some little statue off in a steamy rainforest jungle or something. But it is a daily problem, probably for each one of us here. There is going to be something that is struggling to capture our devotion, our hearts, and our souls. One of my favorite authors, Tim Keller, Christian author and pastor, writes, every human personality, every human community will be based on some ultimate concern or some ultimate allegiance to something. That's just the way we're wired to. We've got to give our devotion to something. So here's something else I want you to do this summer. Find a quiet place, a quiet moment, where you can ask yourself, what am I pledging allegiance to? What am I devoted to? What, if it was taken away from me, would make me really mad? What consumes my thoughts and my mind and that I think about day in and day out? These are the great silencers that are going to do everything to keep your devotion on them and not to God. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He is showing them that an idol had come into the very temple of God. One last Bible verse to close with there. It's on the back of your bulletin too, from Isaiah 44. The Bible just talks about idols throughout and often mocks them and how they are silencers or even are silent themselves. So Isaiah 44 says, all who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. He, the one who makes an idol, prays to it and says, save me, you are my God. They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over. They cannot see. Their minds are closed, so they cannot understand. And then later, Isaiah goes back to the theme of loudness. Isn't this interesting? Sing for joy, you heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, you earth beneath. Don't be silent. Live out loud for the Lord. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all you trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and displays his glory in Israel. This is our business. So live out loud for God. Just about each one of you has come up to me and asked, how was vacation? Colleen and I are just back from 2 weeks of vacation. It was wonderful. It was inspiring. But it's even more wonderful to be home, to be back with you. And I want us to finish out the summer together with some inspiration, with the summer faith lift. And Jesus wants that loudness to be lifted up. He wants us to be praising Him and not let anything silence us. Will we do that together? And live for Jesus in this community. One way we can do that, I think, is by praying. And let's have a prayer together in the form of a song. We'll close with hymn number 294. I'd rather have Jesus. It's kind of the same theme as how we started our worship, isn't it? Give me Jesus. This one says too, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold.